Hello, everyone, and welcome to our podcast, Jaeger CPA Review and More. This podcast is sponsored by Jaeger CPA Review, the course provider that deals only with the AICPA blueprints. Please go to the JaegerCPAReview.com website and look at our various products. And we believe in seeing is believing. And therefore, please look at our 3-day free trial. Pick a subject, and it'll give you 3 days free access, unlimited, to that product. And I believe that once you look at that product and see how it works, you will pick Jaeger CPA Review as your course provider. If you have any questions, you can reach us at 301-874-4900. If you press 5, you may even talk to Phil Jaeger. Take care, everyone, on your journey for the CPA exam. We wish you the best and good luck.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of CPA Review and More. We are pleased to bring you the number one podcast for CPAs and CPA candidates. If you'd like to learn more about how Jaeger CPA Review can help you, find us on our website at JaegerCPAReview.com. Now, here's your host, Phil Jaeger.
Everyone, this is Phil Jaeger, and welcome to my podcast, CPA Review and More. And today, we're going to stay away from CPA Review, and we're going to talk about more. In fact, it's always fun to talk about more versus CPA Review. And by the way, this course, my course, is the one that sponsors this whole thing, Jaeger CPA Review course. By the way, it is the best course out there, and I must say, I'm biased, you know. But no, look into our course, all right? By the way, let me tell you about the CPA exam. Number of people taking it is dropping down. I don't know. Were you aware of that, Greg? I'll introduce you in a second.
I heard that not only were fewer people taking it, but more people were having a harder time passing it.
We can talk about that.
People are losing their drive and getting dumber. Those are the two trends we're seeing.
I think the AICPA is getting dumber, but that's another thing.
Yeah.
But anyway, my guest today is Greg Kite, all right? Does anybody ever tell you to go fly one?
All the time. That was every recess in fourth grade.
That was a sick joke. Greg is unique in that he is a CPA, but that doesn't make him unique, really. All right, but he's also a comedian, okay? All right. And by the way, Greg, are we going to see you on any shows this year in the fall lineup?
Not this year. I actually have a regular month. It's basically turned into a monthly show here in Utah called Comedy Church. And we actually have been in talks about filming a pilot for Comedy Church.
Comedy Church? Is that did you say church? Like,
yeah, Comedy Church. Yeah.
Why'd you call it Comedy Church?
Two reasons. One, we always have it on Sunday night. And two, it's a comedy show about religion. Every single comedian that has any jokes at all has some jokes about God and or religion. So we bring them in. They tell their jokes about God and religion. And afterwards, me and my co-host, we interview them for a little bit. And just we have a fun time talking about how religion has intersected with their lives. So it's a...
Are you a religious person?
No, I'm not. I used to be very, very much so. I'm the lost sheep. So that's
how's your flock going, if I may ask?
The Comedy Church flock? Fantastic. Yeah, it's going wonderfully. So
anyway, Greg is the first CPA that I have ever met who does comedy. Okay. And we'll get into that because I think it's... Anyway, Greg is not a graduate of one of those online universities, so he didn't go to the University of Phoenix, nope. Correct?
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, he wanted to because he wanted to start a football team there at University of Phoenix, correct?
They should have one. Seems like they've got a large student body to draw from.
It's harder
to have practice online than it is on a field, but you know what?
Is it true that you can basically... Well, I don't want to say that. They're going to end up suing me. All right.
Yeah. No, but I have enough college I have enough years in college and higher education. I should be a neurosurgeon, but instead I'm a CPA. I actually have a degree in mathematics. I've got I earned a teaching certification.
What do you want to be, a math teacher?
Yeah. Yep. And I was before being a CPA, I was a junior high math teacher for 10 years and I got out of it because I couldn't stand those little bastards. So instead I decided to be a CPA. And then I went back
How
on my accounting
those
degree.
Little bastards you do.
Wait, say that again.
Age? I won't call them little bastards.
Oh, 13, 14. I was eighth grade was mostly what I taught.
They could be a pain, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they could. And actually the funny thing was I really didn't have too much of a difficult time as a teacher with them and with their ornery behavior. But what I found out, and one of the reasons why I needed to get out of it, is as a teacher, because I love to be funny, I love to have a good time. If you're the teacher and you're with a classroom of 13 and 14 year olds and you start to have fun, all of a sudden they're all like going, oh, it's recess. And then you lose them for the rest of the period. And you have to be extra mean to get them back on track and to settle them down. So what it turned out is I just spent all day, every day being very, very serious, very business. This is the quadratic formula and you need to know it. So sit down and be good and recite it back to me. And that just wasn't a lot of fun for me. So that was one of the things that motivated me to get out.
How did you get into accounting? I mean, what made you want to become a CPA?
When I was in middle school, actually, my mom, she's a pharmacist. She started her own pharmacy. She opened her own pharmacy with some partners. And as partnerships tend to do, within 18 months, they hated each other like to death.
Yeah.
And so her partners bounced out. She had a vacuum of, it was a attracting and retaining talent kind of situation she had. So I wound up at the store after school, I think right in the summer between eighth and ninth grade. And she's like, hey, you're now a cashier here at my store. And I started as a cashier. I started doing the books for her at her drugstore, just the real easy stuff, back on a 13 column ledger pad in the back room. And I did that for all of high school. And I really, really enjoyed the work of just doing the bookkeeping from my mom's drugstore. So when I went to college, it was like, should I do math? Should I do accounting? And I chose wrong and did math. And once I found out that was the wrong choice, I went back and did accounting.
Why did you say bookkeeping was fun? What'd you find fun about bookkeeping?
It's the neatness and knowing that you got the right answer. Because again, a lot of what I did, and I can't remember why or what I was doing, but I remember on the 13 column analysis pad, you totaled up all the rows vertically, you totaled them up all horizontally, and then you totaled those up. And then if the numbers matched, you go, I nailed it. And just there's sort of a sense of satisfaction of going, this ledger sheet is perfect. Also, I found out that when I was doing 10 key work, I could literally almost do it asleep. And even though, like, there was times where it was almost meditative, or it would put me in a trance just doing all these columns on the 10 key. What I found is I could get myself almost to sleep and keep doing it. And I didn't have to worry about it because, again, if the numbers didn't match, they didn't match and I'd know. So I wasn't worried about making a big mistake. The only thing I was worried about is having to do it again. So
now, you didn't plug numbers, did you?
No, not at all.
Good.
No, sir. Is this a test? No, sir. Never did.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Remember, the code of professional ethics.
Yeah, exactly. I'm on it.
Yeah, it says...
Don't plug numbers. Yeah, that's in there. That's section 63-104-2.
It was -3. I'm sorry.
Oh, it starts in two and it really hits. The sweet spot's three. You're right.
So anyway, were you born in Utah? Is that where were you born?
I was born in Akron, Ohio. Me and LeBron James, both born in Akron, Ohio.
Born together?
We were born in, he was in the room next to my mom. That's what I was told.
That's great. And you're still good friends, I hope?
We are. I mean, we've never met. And we were born, I'm sure, at least a couple decades apart. But yeah, just tight as tight can be. Born in Akron, Ohio. My mom moved out to moved me and my brother out to Washington State. I lived just outside of Seattle. That was all my growing up. I don't remember Ohio at all because I was an infant. But did most of my growing up in Seattle. Went to the University of Washington. That's where my math degree is from. Is out there. So
Seattle's a beautiful city.
It's wonderful. Yeah.
Very expensive, right?
It is now. When I was there, like growing up, Microsoft became a thing while I was in Seattle. So the east side of Seattle, the east side of Lake Washington blew up and became the super fancy rich place to live. But then, and Boeing was always there. So both of my grandparents worked for Boeing. But now that it's the epicenter of Amazon, it's really taken off because Costco. Yeah. So those are really the big four out in Seattle is your Microsoft, but Boeing to a lesser extent, because they moved their headquarters to Chicago, in the early 2000s.
Not looking at my watch. There's maybe I'll tell you something. I started that course in 1977. All right. When I was 86. And I started and we had a live course. Because I really like standing in front of people and I would tell them, I'm teaching CPA review and I'm coming up with these examples that just whatever came into my head.
Yeah.
And I remember at the end of the cycle, someone would come up to me and they say, "Who writes your jokes?" And I said, "Nothing." I said, "It just comes with what comes to my mind." But I like to stand in front of people and I do like to make people laugh. So, but anyway. I went to University of Rhode Island.
Okay.
You want to interview me now? I went to University of Rhode Island and we had to declare our major in our freshman year.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. And it's the old, Jackie Mason recently passed away. Great comedian. He was good.
Yeah.
And his big thing is the difference between Jews and Gentiles, And he says, in a Jewish household, if you have the son is a genius, he becomes a doctor. All right. And if he's not that bright, he becomes a lawyer. And if he's really, if there's something wrong with him, he becomes an accountant.
Okay.
So so I couldn't be a doctor in the sight of blood. Law school, I like business law, but I couldn't, do all that research stuff.
Oh.
So anyway, my mother said, "You're going to be a CPA, you're going to be an accountant." Because most of the people around me in Long Island, where I live, the ones who were making the money back then, they were CPAs. Mm-hmm. It was different. Yeah. So I said, "Oh God, I don't want to be an accountant." So I started it and I hated it.
Oh no.
Second year, I said, "I want to switch into another major."
So yeah.
She says to me, "If you switch into another major, we're not paying for your school."
So you're strong armed into staying.
I think I was strong armed and also drugged up to stay in the program.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. So
I came out and I said when I graduated, I'm not gonna become a CPA. This is all garbage. And one of my first jobs was with Seedman and Seedman, which is now BDO Seedman. And I worked out on Wall Street. And we had a lot of banks for clients. And I remember they always put you on the audit staff when you first start.
Right. Okay?
So I knew the hours were ridiculous during tax season.
Yeah. And
all right, so what happens? My first audit, we have to go into a bank vault and count securities.
Okay. Just thrilling. Thrilling.
And back then we had to wear suits.
Yeah.
And a tie and a white shirts. And I'm sitting, sweating bullets in this lousy vault with another guy who was also, we would consider junior accountants,
Yeah, sure.
Today, I don't think they call them juniors when they come out.
I think they usually call them staff. I think you're called staff accountant, yeah.
But we used to be junior accountants, and then you became a senior accountant.
Yeah.
And then a light heavyweight. It was like
right.
A boxing.
Yeah, exactly.
So anyway, I was there for 2 years and I finally got out of there.
Yeah.
And I wanted to do something else. But every time I went to a search firm, they figured, hey, it'd be easier to place them in a, you know, an accounting firm. We get
commission. Right.
I wanted to do marketing.
Okay.
They all said, well, it's a, you know, admirable area to go into and you'll do well, but all right, you'll do better with accounting.
Yeah.
So anyway, so I got in and then I decided I just really don't like this. What can I do? Well, I taught a class part-time at Fairleigh Dickinson University in Jersey. And I really liked standing there and teaching. And I did it part-time. Mm-hmm. And I said, this is what I would like to do. I applied to different community colleges. And I didn't have a CPA at the time. And I got a job at a community college, which I loved. It was a small college.
Yeah.
In Annapolis, Maryland. And I said, this is a great job. Because I was only 27, 28 years old. And the students I had were maybe a few years younger than I was.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Because every Thursday, Friday, we played football. We actually played football.
Yeah.
That person is missed call. I get a lot of those. Anyway, so we would play football, touch football, and it was really great. It was more like a family type thing.
Yeah, that's cool.
Because we had four people who started working the same time I did. And anyway, then I left there and went to a University of Baltimore.
Okay, yeah.
When I was at this community college, they made me director of accounting.
you were successful despite yourself. So, I'll tell you, I get your whole trajectory. I get that. And that's similar to me. So I was a junior high math teacher. While I was a math teacher, I started doing stand-up comedy. Then I changed my careers. I became an accountant. I got my license as a CPA. I've spent 1 year at a firm because in the state of Utah, I think most states are like that. You need to have 1 year of experience working under the direct supervision of a CPA.
When I got the CPA, all right, because they made me director of accounting. So I figured I better take the CPA exam, all right, because who
right.
was the director of when I passed the exam, it was a certification. That's what it was called. It wasn't a license.
Okay.
So I got as soon as I passed the exam, I got my certificate. And if I wanted to practice, I'd get a license. Today, the AICPA has changed their position with this experience requirement. And that's what's actually turning people off.
Is it? Okay. Because that was the thing. So I passed the test while I was...
It was one year.
No, it wasn't. I wasn't even done. I wasn't eligible to sit because I had to get when I was at the firm, I had just started my master's program. So I didn't have my license yet. I'd started my master's program. I was with them for here's the thing. I was with them for exactly 1 year. And I think most states, they define what a year means as 2000 hours.
Yeah, hours. They go by.
I was planning my escape from this accounting firm the whole time. And so 2 weeks prior to my year being up, I was talking with one of my clients going, hey, if you hired me on here, I think it'd be great for you. It'd be great for me. Let's make this happen. He goes, boom. I love it. And I was like, but not yet. I got to have this this 1 year requirement. And he's like, right on. And so I planned out when I'd give my 2 week, I planned to give my 2 week notice 1 week before my year was up to give me a week of padding in terms of that hour, just so it was indisputable that I had my year worth of experience. And so as soon as I gave my notice, my soon to be boss called the managing partner at my firm. And he was like, hey, listen, Tim, let's stop screwing around. Greg hates working there. I need him over here. How about you cut him loose now? And I'm like, no.
Did you get a raise?
I did quickly. I did. At first it was kind of a lateral move, but then they gave me a bunch of raises at the new company I worked for. But I had to be like, no, I can't leave yet. Cause I got to have my 2000 hours. So I went back through all of my timesheets for the year and I totaled up how many hours I had. And I was like, listen, I hit 2000 hours on Tuesday. So how about Tuesday's my last day? And they were, and the managing partner, my new boss, they were both like, that's great. And so on Tuesday, even I was like, well, I hit 2000 hours at 11:41 a.m. So am I coming back? I am coming. Oh, I am coming back after lunch. Okay. I'll see you after lunch and then I'll move.
Well, did they make you a lunch when you?
No. They were not my exit interview with that firm. I think they were just disappointed. They put a fair amount of time and investment into me into building up my skills for their firm. And I bounced right out before they really got any return on that investment. So they weren't super happy with that. So there was a the exit interview was a lot of us not saying out loud that we were both kind of glad that they were upset with me. I wasn't a fan of them, so we didn't say that out loud and suffered through an exit interview, and then I left. So,
well, you're happy now, aren't you?
Oh. Yeah, I'm totally happy. Oh, but this is where I was going with that too. So while I was with them, I started teaching QuickBooks classes at a community. Oh, no, sorry. It was the University of Utah's Extension School. Okay. And I loved doing that. It was a blast. Very similar to what you were talking about. You get up and people are like, oh my gosh, this guy actually has a personality and he's teaching me the most boring topic on the planet. And there's a lot that comes with that. And over the years, I do a whole lot of CPE teaching that I do through CPA Academy is one of the that's the main one that I teach through right now is CPA Academy. Mostly teach on ethics and fraud, but there's some other topics that get tossed in there as well. So,
well, there really are no ethics in public accounting. I don't know what they teach you
There's no ethics, but there's ethics training. Ethics. People have to learn it.
Yeah. So. Well, you know, you got to do this. And by the way, how much are you paying us for the fee? Oh, 110?
Right.
You'll get an unqualified opinion.
Right, exactly. Oh, that's the biggest joke, being independent, but also the fact that you eat because your client pays you money. That's,
client buys the lunch?
What's that?
The client with the lunch.
No, they pay the firm and the firm pays your salary and you go to the grocery store with the money that the firm gives you. So you're not independent. Well, it's funny. I remember learning in the ethics stuff as CPAs, we needed to be ethical in fact and in appearance.
That's right.
And the whole appearance thing bugged me because it's like, if you're really ethical, who cares if you look ethical or not, just as long as you are. And then you take a step back and go, oh wait, our entire profession, all we're trying to do is appear independent, because in reality there's no way to say that we're truly independent from a client. That, you know, an auditor that's independent is an IRS auditor, because they're not paid by the taxpayer directly.
If you go to the IRS and they help you and you say, hey, I'm getting a cup of coffee, you want it? Oh no, I'm sorry, I can't take your coffee.
Yeah.
I said, what am I going to bribe you with a cup of coffee? Ridiculous.
Right. Yeah. Well, in Utah, they not only would they not take that bribe, but they would feel just spiritually offended by that as well.
Well, I have to tell you that I think what's happening with the profession now, because I discussed with you, number of people taking the exam is dropping like, you know, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I'm part of this approved course providers, you know, with Becker and all these other ones.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, we used to meet twice a year, but with the pandemic, we do these on Zoom now.
Yeah.
And they did come out with a new exam July 1st. Auditing changed. And that's because they hired from Ernst & Young, all right, a brand new guy to make up the auditing exam, maybe the other parts too. So his whole thing is now, CPA is a practice to do public accounting.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, that's all. So he really, this new, you know, the blueprints, they have blueprints now telling you what they're going to ask and that type of stuff.
Yeah.
Well, they just added to the auditing part of the exam a good 20, 25 new blueprints.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And I was looking at this and I said, God, who knew? You know, what's the factors for this? And what's the factors for that? And, you know, and I thought, God, you know, what are you trying to do? Encourage or discourage? Because that would discourage people as it
is. Absolutely. When I was taking the exam, actually, I finished the exam right before. I was one of the last groups to get through the exam before they started including IFRS in the exam. And that was big motivation for me, is just going, that's one less thing I have to study if I can pass it before August or whatever it was when I was trying to get through it. So
what the deal is with the IFRS now?
No, what's the deal with the IFRS
anymore?
It's not okay. Okay, nice.
Yeah,
nice. Well, so taking the exam, did you take it when you had to, when it was paper pencil, had to do it all in one?
Yeah, we had to take all four parts.
Mm-hmm.
It was 2.5 days. And we all sat, the people in Maryland, we sat at the Baltimore Civic Center.
Okay.
Right. And every time we took it, if you took it in May, the circus was always in town. Because you would hear the elephants. You know,
no.
You're upstairs with 2,500 people taking the exam.
Jeez.
And then downstairs, you hear the elephants and all that. And they smell, too.
Sure,
and,
I'm
sure. Know, but, yeah, we took it all four parts. And you know something? Amazingly, you know, people passed the exam. The demand for the exam was really up there.
Yeah. Right?
They had a good 5,000 people taking the exam twice a year.
Yeah.
Just in Maryland.
Yeah.
And that's not even counting D.C. or Virginia, which is, you know, tri-state right. area.
Right.
But, the auditing they made very difficult. And I go to these meetings only for one reason. All right. I have a big mouth. Okay. And
for the meetings when they're like planning the changes.
Of course for the,
gotcha.
And the rest of them sit there like, you know, they don't care. All they care about is how are we gonna lie to the students and tell them we have 90% passing rates, all right? And the AICPA does nothing about it.
Right.
All right. Huh. And that,
well,
and then I
ethics.
I say, what the hell is the ethics?
Yeah.
I remember I went out to lunch with the director of examination and I said to him, who do you protect? And he says, well, the purpose of the exam is to protect the public.
So I
said to him, well, who protects the candidates? Oh, that's not our problem, you know?
Huh.
And so I said to him, well, you know, I could actually get out of the profession now and, you know, I don't need to work in this profession or any profession, but you know what? I am going to be the, you know, I'm going to be the person that's the students. And that's why I got the podcast originally, just, you know, and, and you know something? People don't want to listen to that. You know, the students, I mean, I don't say anything really nasty about anyone specifically. Well, I sort of, I knock our competitors because nothing they say on the internet. The internet's not regulated.
No.
91% pass rates, 92%. And I say, who believes this garbage?
Right.
So, and then I say to the guy in New York, I said, why don't you do something about this? He said, well, we're not here to protect the convicts.
Yeah.
So I said, well, God, I mean, they're the ones who are becoming CPAs.
Right.
And the fact is, if they do find out that those passing rates are phony, all right, a bright one would say, yeah, how come they let that go? That's really unethical.
Right.
And that is a new thing. The exam's changing in 2 years again.
I did see about that where... you can have like an emphasis. There's like the core parts, but then you can be like, you can have an emphasis in tax or an emphasis in in technology, I think.
Yeah, it's IT, tax compliance or financial accounting or
auditing. Okay. Yeah.
All right. But take a core exam first.
Yeah, right. And then you take your little specialty exam.
No. There's actually a seminar today. That they were going to talk about this because no one really understands. So anyway, but I couldn't attend.
You gave up that seminar for me? Jeez.
I said to myself, Phil, that's what I call myself. I said, Phil, I can't cancel out on this guy again. Okay.
Yeah.
Just not right.
Right.
And my wife said, my wife who likes you without knowing him, she says, you can't do that again to him. So I said,
right.
No, I don't want to come across as a real.
She's like, listen, I'm having ear surgery. There's this major. We'll say it's surgery. I'm having ear surgery. There's this major meeting that's going to affect the rest of your career. But you know what you need to do? You need to get on with that Jeff guy and talk to him about his yuck jokes.
Well, I said to myself, being a kind person I am, right, the heart, said, you know, I can't. Disappoint Jeff, although his name is Craig.
Right. When I looked myself in the mirror, I said, hey, listen, Jeff, because I actually call myself Jeff. And then I say back, what, Greg? And then I say, well, listen, Jeff, you need to tell some jokes when you're on that podcast with Phil Yeager. But here's what I'd really like to do, if you'd care to take the time. Can I tell you my best CPA exam story?
I'm ready. Is this a joke?
No, this is a true story.
I used to have a laugh track.
No. You don't need that. And not only that, I think this is like a major hack for taking the test. Is, and here's what happens. So the very first section I take was the audit section. And as you know, you're in there, and if you have to, you can take a potty break, but they don't stop the clock for you. So the clock is still ticking. And I took it at this, exam center that also was up at the University of Utah.
Was it Prometrics at the time?
Yeah, Prometrics. Yeah. Okay, yeah. And it was awesome because about three quarters of the way through the exam, I have to go to the bathroom, and I go up to the front and I say, "Hey, where's the bathroom?" And she says, It's at the end of the longest hall that humans have ever made in the history of humanity." It's like, that's the men's room. The women's room, right outside the front door. The men's room was like a quarter mile hike. So I'm like, I'm trying to have dignity. So I'm not running to the bathroom, but I'm like power walking to the bathroom and back. And I get back in and I'm finishing up the test. And seriously, there was whatever the written portion of the test was, where you had to, you know, have like a tell them how you do your auditing task or whatever like that. I wrote my last sentence and I reread it and I said, "I don't think I like how," and I had to do, you know, backspace, and fill in the word again. And as my last keystroke of changing the last couple words of the last sentence of that was my time, and the computer shut down. And I was going, "Dang, if I had that time back from running back and forth to the men's room that was 100 miles away, I would have had, you know, some extra padding to be able to do that." So I'm telling somebody at work about this story about how far away the bathroom was and just barely having time to finish the test, which I did pass, by the way. So I did, you know, so even despite the timeout for the bathroom, still pass it. But just jokingly, she was like, "You should have worn Depends when you were there." And I was like, "Oh my gosh, that's brilliant. That's brilliant."
So you brilliant started idea. Selling Depends there.
So I didn't take her advice. I must have already taken the other two exact, because it seemed like that kept happening to me, but I was at different testing centers where the bathrooms weren't as far away. But I thought that was so hilarious that I was like, my very last section was reg. And I was like, "I am buying Depends and I'm suiting up and I'm going to go and I'm not going to take a single potty break for this last section." And I think it was the shortest section, and it was the only one of the four that I didn't have to use the bathroom in. But I'll tell you what, you don't suit up like that and not use it. So I forced myself to go to the bathroom in the testing center just on principle. And again, passed it. And one of the most embarrassing thing was afterwards, I went to the restroom in the testing center and removed it. And I assumed that it'd be just like a one person bathroom, but it was one of the big ones. And I know that people knew that I was taking off an adult diaper in that bathroom. But
yeah, good.
All that to say, that could be the difference between passing and failing, is if you wear yourself an adult diaper to take your test. I'm saying it's a proven method.
Well, I don't know if you can do that anymore, because they check everything when you come in there. I mean, they probably have to check the diaper.
Yeah, well, but if they do, I mean, I don't think there's any rules against wearing a diaper.
Well, no.
So
I tell the people, you know, you see my board here?
Uh-huh.
Big board? You want to do your calculations? Doesn't say you can't take a big whiteboard in there.
All right. Yeah. Nice.
So, now it's 4 hours apart. 4 hours per part.
Per part? Every single one? Yeah. Dang. That's ridiculous. I think the longest.
It's different problems, different types of problems.
Yeah. Crazy. That's nuts. Ridiculous.
But they give a 15-minute break for each part that doesn't go against the 4 hours.
Oh, okay. Well, that's nice.
But if you go to the bathroom, all right?
They don't stop the clock.
You're out. You finished the exam.
Oh, what? Yeah. Oh, you don't get back in if you leave. That's brutal.
You can leave. Yeah, well, I don't know where you probably could stay around for 15 minutes. Or go to the bathroom. I think you go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
But that's it. You know?
If you leave outside of the break, you're done. Yeah, see you next time.
If you have prune Danish, you're in deep trouble.
I'll tell you what, that's all the more reason that you gotta suit up in the adult diaper before you go. It's really, I'm gonna say that's best practice, and I think you should outline that in your course.
The adult diaper.
Yeah.
I don't know if they allow that anymore. You might be right. Maybe you wrote all the FASBs on there.
on the adult diaper. You can do that on your regular underpants. You can do that. You can do that in your own underpants. That's the same. They're not. There's no higher exposure, and I use that word on purpose. That they have with adult diapers than with regular regular draws.
It's crazy on security now. You know, you can't bring a watch in. Right? I mean, people are under pressure as it is. All right.
Yeah.
Did you have a clock in front of you going off down?
Yeah, it was. I think there was a clock embedded in the testing software, so it was right there telling you just how scared you need to be at any given moment.
Like a bomb, isn't it?
Yeah, basically.
Thank you so much for listening to Yeager CPA Review and More. As a token for our appreciation for your listenership, we'd like to offer you 10% off your next purchase with Yeager CPA Review. Save between $50 to $150 with code PODCAST10. If you'd like more information, look us up on JaegerCPAReview.com. And as always, if you've enjoyed this show, please rate and review on iTunes or your preferred listening platform. Again, thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to you tuning in next time.